Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
This is Douglas.
And tonight we have with us a guest, Vic Holtzman from ScreenRant.com. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing amazing, I assume. Because Damian looks...
Oh, me
have to go into settings again.
Oh, my goodness. Does this mean we have to start? Ah, my list is
no,
here,
we don't.
Finally.
We don't have to start.
I can now see
yeah.
My
list. So, tonight we... This is the wonders of using an iPhone with wireless internet instead of Edge.
Yes. No, you bring your microphone closer so I can speak.
Oh, man. All right, so this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. As you've kind of figured out, we're doing this our style, which is completely unsensibly or whatever. I have no sense. I'm drinking beer right now. We're going to be talking about our top 9 films of... top 10 films of 09. Have
not
I mentioned that I'm drinking?
Films of 09? Or, wait, what?
Douglas is drinking with me.
Well, I started out a little bit earlier than you. I had a White Russian before, too.
The top 10 films of 2009. Since it's basically the end of the year, you know, it's... We're recording on December 30th. You know, Happy New Year's to everyone
it's
listening
New
to...
New Year's Eve. Or the Eve of New Year's Eve.
It is. Uh-huh. So, before we start listing any films that are in our list, I want to start out with Vic. Usually, whenever I make these lists at the end of the year, I have a feeling like I haven't done my research. Because there are films that I feel might end up in the list, but I have not watched yet. Do you have this feeling right now? Are there any films you want to preface with your list, like films that you haven't seen?
Yeah, two that come to mind are Moon and Hurt Locker. I never made it to see either of those films, unfortunately, and I'm sure they would end up being in my list.
Oh, yes.
Around the table, Damian?
I haven't seen The Road or Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Those are another two I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
Seen Up in the Air, A Serious Man, or An Education, so...
Yeah,
the only ones
I have to say ditto to a few of those, especially The Road and A Serious Man. Also, what's the Colin Firth one? Single Man?
Single Man.
Yeah, Single Man. I really think that that would be in there, as well as...
Up in the Air?
No, not... Well, maybe Up in the Air, but that doesn't strike me as a top 10 right now. It could. You never know. It could surprise me. But what I really, really think would be a top 10 for me that I definitely have not and will not watch before the end of the year is The Imaginarium... No, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
You guys have said it all. I mean, I've seen some of those that you've mentioned, Damon. I've seen Fantastic Mr. Fox. I've seen An Education. But I haven't seen The Road, Serious Man, Single Man, Parnassus. Those are the films that kind of stand out as the ones that I want to watch so bad that they might end up in the list. But unfortunately, as I was compiling this list, I have not seen them. So they were disqualified. Technically. Kind of. I don't know. So... I guess we can start with you, Vic. Have you ordered your list or at all? Or
basically, I went through my reviews this year and I kind of ordered them vaguely by the rating I gave them. So I guess they're kind of semi-ordered. Nothing really strict, I guess. My top film of the year would probably be Up. I thought that was really fantastic. I couldn't find anything to dislike about that movie. I thought it was really, really excellent. So that would be my number one film. And the next one, people will argue with me about it, but I don't care. I loved Gran Torino. I thought it was fantastic.
An 09 film?
I'm sorry?
Was that an 09 film?
Well, you know, it opened very limited right at the end of 2008, and it went wide in January of 09. So to me, it's a 2009 film. Maybe I'm cheating. I don't know.
Okay,
but I've got a couple of backups as well. So, but
I'm cool. Then I'm just asking.
Yeah, but I really like that. Other in no particular, well, in semi particular order. Okay, I'd have to say probably next on my list would be Sherlock Holmes, which I really, really enjoyed a lot. I thought it was a really fun movie. Where the Wild Things Are, Star Trek, and that's coming from a very old classic Trek fan, and I thought that they did a really impressive job. It was kind of a no-win scenario to reboot the franchise, and I think they managed to do it, and they did a great job. Avatar is on the list. It's not my favorite movie. I'm not fawning over it like virtually every other reviewer on the planet. I thought visually it was great. I thought the story was nothing, you know, amazing. I was really kind of hoping for a more intricate or some kind of twist or something in the story. I love Taken because yes. I'm an old guy and I've got a daughter that's 13, and I just loved that, the whole vibe of that movie. Watchmen I thought was very, very good. And then probably The Hangover and Harry Potter would probably round out my list.
I have to say, I don't know. I can't speak for Damien because he hasn't really told me explicitly what he thought of Avatar. But I have to say, between me and Douglas, I think we completely agree with your sentiments on Avatar.
Well, I'll leave my sentiments for Avatar until I talk about it, because it actually is somewhere on my list. Though my list is a bit weird, a bit convoluted. So we'll talk about it later.
That's so novel for you.
I know.
Such a straightforward kind of guy. Well, to see this side of you, Douglas.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, that really...
Yeah. I think that's a bigger talk.
Yes.
So, I mean, kicking it to Damien.
Why kicking it to Damien? Why? By the racial profiling. That's what.
Oh, is this racial profiling?
Because you're racist.
Exactly. Everyone knows that.
That's interesting. Damien.
Right. So, just so that everyone knows, I'm going to be saying 11 movies. My favorite movie of this year is 2012. But it's not.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, that was my exact.
It's not going on my list because this is a technical list. Movies that are 2012 won't appeal to everybody. That movie speaks to me in ways that most things don't speak to me. I love seeing the end of the world, Armageddon type movies, and Roman Emmerich has been doing it for a while. And this is his opus, and I loved every single second of it. But that's not on my list, that is above my list. Okay? My list is in alphabetical order because I kept trying to find some way to organize this list. And this is just the easiest way. This is my coupled way of saying 10 movies. And
oh, so you're Kevin Smith 2.0?
Who?
Kevin Smith?
I don't care. Right, so starting off, 500 Days of Summer, Mark Webb's latest movie.
Latest, this is first.
Right, I was looking at IMDb, I'm like, what else did this dude do? Apparently he did nothing else.
He did music videos.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't about to watch any of that, so.
Hey, some Spike Jonze music videos are fantastic.
Again, not going to watch any.
No, trust me, they're awesome. Care. There's a Bjork video where there's
sir.
A box and it
sir.
Keeps moving. And
sir.
What?
No.
No?
No. When I
listen, I think there's
to
one
music,
with a cat that like makes.
So when I listen to music, I get that image in my head. And if the image in my head ever matches up to what's on the screen, I'm going to kill myself. The next movie is Lars von Trier's Antichrist. Me and Douglas, we love this movie. Andrew refuses to watch it because he's a child.
I agree.
The next movie is Bronson by Nicholas Winding Ray. No idea how to pronounce his last name. But he did the Punisher trilogy and he gave me Bronson, and Bronson is phenomenal.
The Punisher trilogy?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Pusher, sorry.
Oh.
The Pusher trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Very sorry, guys.
Have there been three continuous Punisher films?
I don't know.
Good lord. Not potions.
So what were you drinking? I've been drinking beer. I have an excuse. What's yours?
I can't say it on the air. It's illegal. The next movie is Mr. Blomkamp's District 9. Absolutely love that movie. It's terrific, especially from a guy that was going to do a Halo movie instead.
Yeah. Though you never know, maybe Halo would have been as fantastic as District. Alright, fine.
Nope. Master Chief is a terrible character. He doesn't speak. All he does is shoot people in the face. And they made that movie already. It's called Shoot 'Em Up.
Oh, but that's a great movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Because that character spoke. Master Chief.
I think about things to destroy while you continue.
Harry Potter is the one other movie, and I'm so happy that this dude is doing basically all the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, David Yates, yeah.
This last one was truly, truly terrible.
But you know whose was, I thought, the best? Even though
no, you're wrong. You're right.
Okay. No, I'm not saying that none of the ones afterwards haven't been really good, because they have.
Right.
But what I... Maybe because it was the first really good one for me, but what I think to be the best was the third one, Prisoner of Azkaban, directed by Alfonso Cuarón. And I just love Alfonso Cuarón and, you know, his stuff. He's got Children of Men. He's got E Tu Mama Tambien. He's just fantastic.
Yates did all of the Phoenix, and then he did Half-Blood Prince. I'm just glad that he's doing the rest, because
it's like really they were like hopping from director to director, not knowing who to use until
then,
they met Yates.
They were like, okay, this Columbus guy, he needs to go.
And his authority on these movies, and it was all systems go at that point. Inglourious Basterds, Tarantino. I was having a bit of a problem with Tarantino of late.
You're an idiot.
Of late?
Yes,
But what has he done of late?
He didn't like
The last
Death
thing
Proof.
Was Kill Bill.
Death Proof.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry, no, you're absolutely right. I didn't
and
think
I
of that
was
one.
Not a
but,
fan of Death
Proof. I don't know, I liked it. You're I know a lot of
person.
People hated it, but I
because they're
really,
all stupid.
Really
and
both
Andrew's
films.
Blind love for him didn't help situations much. But Inglourious Basterds is really good. Christoph Waltz.
Oh, fantastic.
He needs to win the best supporting role.
No.
Award.
Well, yeah, sure. Whatever. Unless Heath Ledger can win it again because this movie got re-released. Then, okay.
All right, back to my list. Duncan Jones, Moon.
Which number is this now? Have we reached?
This is 7.
This is number 7 or is this number 3? Which way are you going?
No, it's in alphabetical order.
Alpha order, oh, okay.
Sam Rockwell is terrific in this, and if it wasn't for Bronson, I'd have given him best performance of the year, but Bronson is just a far better performance.
And speaking of Bronson, isn't that on your list as
it,
well?
I spoke about Bronson.
Oh, you did? I completely forgot. That's the bear talking, yeah.
Rian Johnson's Brothers Bloom is a terrific follow-up from Brick. Loved Brick. Love Brothers Bloom. I know a lot of people had some issues with it. Call those people crazy people, but whatever. The Hangover. Thank God Todd Phillips saved himself. Because he did School for Scoundrels and Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, School
after
for Scoundrels
did
is horrible.
After he did Old School. And I just read him off at that point. I said, alright, he did his one good movie. Let's just be happy with the one, and then he recovered with The Hangover, and The Hangover is truly terrific. And finally on my list is Zack Snyder, my boy, following up 300 with Watchmen is so good. I only have one gripe with this movie, and it's the music, and I love this movie so much that I try to block out the music whenever I hear it, but this movie is terrific top to bottom, especially that director's cut, fantastic. And Jackie Earle Haley as
Rorschach,
a revelation. That dude is it's been like, it wasn't until I started making this list I realized how good a year it was for movies, because I don't know why I was assuming that this year wasn't that good a year for movies.
You know what? This year did feel like a bad year, but you know why? Because a lot of the movies didn't come out here.
Right.
For example, I can tell you, I had a nice long holiday weekend,
right.
And I, in order to get this list up to scratch, even right. though a lot of what I watched didn't come in here,
right.
I spent like the last 5 days just watching maybe 3 or 4 movies.
Six out of the 10 of my films we watched theatrically.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. Oh, you've got one. Oh no, that's from.
I think part of it too is because there were some truly horrific movies.
Oh, yes,
that
there really were. I mean, Paul Blart, seriously.
I think for you especially, right. What happened to you was you decided on no longer going to the theater right when good movies were starting. Like, you were like, March, you were like, no, I'm not doing it anymore. You saw Watchmen, so that was March. What was the last film you saw at the theater before there were breaks?
Well, I was trying to watch Duplicity when the incident happened.
So that was March.
Right.
So yeah, you didn't really get to see any of the great ones.
You guys brought me to Game O. Movie terrific. You're all assholes. And I mean, Legend of Chun-Li, Dragon Ball, Transformers, Revenge of the
Sith. I actually think this was a really great year in movies.
I'm
just talking about going through the list. You guys saw my initial list.
The list of 50 movies.
A lot of movies that I saw this year. And I absolutely love. I just had this perception that this year really wasn't that great a year.
I think it wasn't that great a year for mainstream films. What I think it really was a good year for, or at least that's how I perceive it, for exactly more obscure and what many people would probably call independent films, though some of them really weren't independent. So that's what I really liked about this year, that you saw a lot of really creative things coming out. Even though, if you go to the movies, you'd still see, you know, Transformers 2 and all the big blockbusters. Exactly.
Okay, so that was my...
That's your list?
11.
I actually want to ask you one question.
Sure.
In two parts, I guess. If you can, I know it's probably a bit difficult... What do you think out of that list? I know it's hard for you to order them, but what would be your number one and what would be your number 10 or number 11, the last one on your list?
Okay, so.
Not counting 2012, of course.
Yeah, no. Seriously. I mean, I know a lot of people hear me saying it and don't understand, but I'm truly, truly in love with them.
Just for all you people for all of you who are those people who don't understand it, you have to realize this is the man who believes Rambo 2 is the greatest film ever made.
Not even Rambo 1?
No.
Not even First Blood?
No. First Blood Part 2 is the greatest film ever.
So you have
to... Personally, the movie's great.
You have to accept Damien.
I mean, I would never argue technically, because I just come out looking stupid. But I love that movie. Alright, so if I had to put one at number 10, I'd probably have Bronson at number 10. And if I had to put...
Bronson is worse than Harry Potter.
Leave him alone.
Exactly.
Let him
know. That is why I didn't want.
I know. I'm just joking. I'm sorry. I'm just messing with you.
And if I absolutely had to put something at number one, it probably it's going to be like a three-way tie. It's going to be
One movie for number one. If you had to choose,
if all other movies on this list were going to be destroyed, and I had to save one.
And while we leave Damien with this quandary,
I'm going to Hangover.
What?
If I had to save one, because I know I'd laugh every single time. I'd always be in a good mood.
No, that movie
watching that
is
movie.
Hilarious. It's fantastic. I love it.
This
I know exactly what you're
right.
Saying.
But it shouldn't be one.
It shouldn't be. As far as it's not even on my list, even though I harbor such wonderful feelings for it.
And if it weren't for the music in Watchmen, I'd save Watchmen. If I could edit out that music.
You don't like the Watchmen soundtrack?
No.
What?
It is great. The songs on the soundtrack are good songs.
Just
but
know,
how
like,
they're
put,
right, how they're
yeah.
used in the movie.
I love how they're used.
No. Not so much. But everything else about that movie.
But I mean, talking about The Hangover, I remember reading Vic, you wrote up an article on your site recently, the top 10 film moments in 2009.
Yes.
And you were talking about The Hangover, the final photo montage in your top 10 list, and like watching that montage is just insane. Like you after watching it, you think to yourself what you would think of the film if it was not there,
right.
And you just can't imagine it. I mean, it's kind of odd.
Movies
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You think you're going to finish the film and never see what actually happened.
Exactly. And,
and then they show it to you right there at the end. And by the way, it just occurred to me, this shows you how much I'm not into lists. I don't know how I missed this one. I was just going, looking through the reviews that I did this year again. I totally forgot about District 9. District 9 for me would be probably my third favorite movie this year. So bump out Harry Potter and put District 9 in number 3 and bump everything. Oh, no. I can't believe I forgot that.
I kind of did that too. I was making my list, and then as I was making my list, I was sitting down and I was going like, I think I rated this movie higher than that one when I reviewed it, so I had to go back and look at my reviews.
But you see, I don't even have that problem. Actually, if you guys saw, maybe in the chat room you guys saw, I don't know, but I was making some very weird suggestive motions at Andrew while
ago. Trying to make some notes.
So I just brought out a pen and paper for you guys to see that, because I just remembered a movie that needed to be in my top 10, so I had to write it down and make some adjustments.
It's kind of like I've been making top 10s all this month. I've been doing the Decade Remembered articles where I do the top 10 lists of every year from the decade, and I'm going to do a top 20 of the decade at the end. And whenever I do it, I feel kind of like I'm cheating as I'm doing it, because sometimes I do feel like one film technically should be rated higher than another, but sometimes when I'm making these top 10 lists, I feel like I'm making a playlist of sorts. Like, if you were to ask me what were the films of this year, I'm making you a playlist so that you can, like, have a general feeling of what that year meant to me in film.
But that's what I love most about movies, is the fact that it's subjective. If everyone thought the same thing about movies, then I'd have to kill myself. Me and Roger Ebert would have the same taste. And I don't want
that.
I don't want that.
Another Roger Ebert stab. Nice. Uh-huh. Nice. But anyways, Douglas, are you ready or do you want me to go?
I'm pretty much ready, except I just realized I may have...
All right, I'm going to go.
Movies. But no. I'm going to go. And as we said in the beginning of this podcast, my list is a bit convoluted. Oh, so the crowd wants Andrew to go. All right, no, that's cool. Okay. Okay, Andrew can
They've
go.
They've turned against you.
Uh-huh. They have. The masses
well
have spoken.
At this point here.
So, Andrew, you may go ahead.
Yes.
So after long hours of... I don't know how everyone goes about making their top 10 lists.
But cheat.
Like, basically, I just go into Wikipedia and I just go down the list of films that came out during the year. And I just go like, yep, I like that one, I like that one. And after I've made like 50 movies in a list, I just start going through the list and cutting one after another, shifting down, shifting up. It's hard. It hurts sometimes. Like, for example, Watchmen is not in my list.
And because you're stupid.
And it pains me to look at that.
I see something in your list that needs to be moved.
And Damon is referring...
Oh, there are quite a few things. Don't worry.
No, I've got one specifically.
And Damon is referring to number 10 on my list.
Yes.
Funny People. Like, I know a lot of people had issues with this movie.
It's because
but
it's not.
No. I agree with Andrew. This movie is really funny. But is it top 10 material?
No, where?
I don't know.
Where in the movie is really funny? I think I missed that part of the movie.
You did, clearly. You didn't watch the movie.
But there's funny people live that they did. Where it's
that's not a movie.
It's terrific. And it's in my honorable mention. So the movie's 2.5 hours of dross. Basically.
I've watched this movie 3 times this year already. I love it. I still haven't sat down to watch the unrated version on my Blu-ray. Oh my goodness. I love especially the scenes with all the friends together. Jason Schwartzman, Jonah Hill, and Seth Rogen. I love those scenes together. It's amazing.
Dude, watch the special feature.
I'm going to... number 9 on my list is Duncan Jones' Moon. It's a fantastic film, fantastic sci-fi. And I understand why most people will have it in their, like, top 3. But it just, like, I loved other films more is all I have to use as an excuse. Number 8 on my list is Sam Mendes' latest film, Away We Go. It is fantastic.
I wish I had, because I feel like it could have been...
Like, good. We see indie comedies every other day. But this film feels like the indie comedy which has real people in it.
And you know what else? It had Jim from The Office there.
It's amazing. I love it. I love every set piece, every scene. It's great.
It has Maggie Jim.
She's the one who says about the stroller.
Oh, is that her?
That's her.
I don't want to push them away from me.
Number 7 on my list is Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. You might ask, Andrew, how is this movie so low on your list? It's because there were so many awesome movies this year. Right after that comes Pixar's Up.
Squirrel. That was probably the best joke of 2009.
I love this movie to tears. I thought I didn't love it as much as other Pixar films when I first saw it, and then I went again and watched it in 3D and fell in love again, and then I watched it on my Blu-ray and fell in love even more.
You brought me to tears to not put that on my list. Like, this movie has to be on the list.
Now into the serious stuff, the top 5. This is the stuff that I had to, like, kill people thinking about. Number 5 is just District 9. This is the best sci-fi film I have seen in forever. Like, I don't think I've seen something that hit me this well since Blade Runner or something like that. And I know you don't like Blade Runner, and I hate you for it. Following is Ryan Johnson's The Brothers Bloom, another film that I didn't think I liked that much. I loved it at the time, but I didn't think it was top 10 worthy. But every time I watch this movie, it gets better and better and better and better. It is fantastic, and I'm still not sure whether I like it more than Brick. Number 3 is The Hurt Locker. As I said a couple weeks ago when I talked about it on the podcast, I can't believe Kathryn Bigelow directed this film. The woman who directed Near Dark went and made a great fucking movie.
No. She did not find redemption.
Douglas is okay, though.
She found.
Douglas is okay, though.
Number two on my list, and you can technically call this 1.1 because these movies both got rated the same, number 2 and number 1 in my reviews, but for some reason, I just picked number 1 over this, and number 2 is Where the Wild Things Are. Spike Jonze made a fantastic job of this movie. I love the animations. I love the graphics. Like, if you talk about graphics in 2012 and Watchmen and Avatar, fuck that shit. Where the Wild Things Are is what I want to watch rather than those. And my number 1 movie of the year is the wonderful indie comedy with Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's 500 Days of Summer.
Cowbird.
He's not doing himself any favors.
To this,
I actually thought he was really good in that movie.
Yeah, that movie.
Yeah, and I had to fucking watch it 2 days in a row. I was so upset.
Do you know? To this day, I can't get the scene from this movie out of my head when they're in IKEA, just running around, and they're making that joke about, "Honey, the sink isn't working." But I bought 2. It's
by the way, quick question. You know what movie I was watching last night?
What movie?
500 Days of Summer.
My favorite scene is when they have actually
no,
and he's
that's a really good one.
That
yes.
is a fantastic yes. scene. To tell the truth, my favorite scene though is the one that pretty much happens really early in the film when you see him just breaking
the
plates. I just couldn't stop laughing when I saw that scene.
I like that tree as well. As the days keep rolling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the tree kept landing.
Exactly. Oh, I didn't even notice that. You know what I noticed about that was that as the days got further on, the screen, when it was, you know, going, got really dark, and then as it got earlier on, it got lighter to represent the whole, you know, wonderfulness of the relationship.
And I mean, I love the end note. Like, it kind of gave you an odd feeling. I don't want to give it away for people who still haven't seen this film. The end moment just felt so perfect for some reason. Almost as perfect as the end moment in Inglourious Basterds.
You kind of forgive her for being in the happening at this point.
I forgave her a long time ago.
That was a great movie. Zooey Deschanel was in it. Yes, that was a wonderful movie.
Oh, wow.
Damon, stop trying. Stop trying.
I did it even better than Eyelash, you see?
I think you should meet her. No, I said I thought, I don't think you should meet her.
Things yeah, might go horribly awry, right?
Keep as much distance between you.
I mean, come on. This year was seriously an awesome year for movies.
But there's no Dark Knight. Well, technically there was.
There was Watchmen.
There was a re-release of Dark Knight this year.
Which is why.
Which is my special mention.
I think if you meld Star Trek and Watchmen together, you get Dark Knight.
No.
By the way, you know what's a great movie? Well, not great in terms of top 10, but really fun to watch. Give Him Hell Malone with Tom Jane. It was fantastic. I don't know like why that came to my head, but yeah. Really
it's because fun. You're stupid. But
or drunk, one of the two.
Oh, I finished my beer.
Not quite yet, I'm savoring.
And so Douglas, now that you're sober, it's time to get to your top 10 soon.
My top 10? Yes. Are we at my top 10?
Where are you? Well, I mean, we could just end the show now, but...
Douglas,
you have to get your say.
Okay, so, like I was saying before, mine is a bit convoluted. But we'll get through it, you know. We do these things. Exactly. Number 10 on my list, right, is Uncertainty, a really recent movie with the young, the
Cobra.
Very wonderful Cobra
Commander,
yes. Or Joseph Gordon-Levitt, whichever way you'd like
for
to
some
think
reason
of
I always think of now with him that intro in the SNL episode he did with the song from Singing in the Rain.
Oh, that intro. I thought you were talking about
no, I was talking about him, his introduction. Not
I'll always see him as Cobra Commander.
No, but this movie was, I don't know, it was really great. It was actually two separate stories,
okay,
which it doesn't show you in the trailer. And even though Andrew has said that Traffic is like this, and I have seen Traffic, but I don't remember this.
Wait, Traffic is, no, when you described it to me fully, Traffic isn't exactly
like
that.
I know, but this is the first movie that I remember watching that is actually color-coded. Like, the two stories are, one is called Yellow, and one is called Green. And in the yellow story, both characters were yellow. And in the green story, both characters were green.
You're not making
green.
This movie so
That's what I told him the other day.
No, but to tell you the truth. Okay, that
I'm
is
going
just...
to watch it because you're Douglas and I kind of sort of trust you, despite Butcher Boy. But,
no, the color coding
wrong,
is... It's a way to tell the difference between the two stories. But it's fantastic. One is like an... kind of like an action story. Another is kind of like a more relaxed love story. But in both of them, they go through the same issues. And I love the way that they do that.
Okay.
That even though, you know, one is them running away with a cell phone and another one is them just having a nice 4th of July.
You should have led with that instead of the color.
But it's just a way they deal with the issues that they have to deal with. And that is fantastic.
Okay.
Right? Number 9 is another indie movie. That no, you can't take the paper away from me. This is a movie that I remembered a while ago that I had to write down. Another indie movie that it's getting a lot of festival play now. It's called The Vicious Kind, starring Adam Scott, who really strangely he is not a leading man. He is the guy. He's like the other guy in all of these comedies. He's a nurse in Knocked Up. He is the brother in Step Brothers. You know, he's like that really funny guy that comes into movies for 5 minutes. But in this film, he plays the lead and he does it so well. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this guy can really act. I can't, you know, I couldn't see him doing anything more than maybe a couple of punchlines every now and again. So that amazed me.
So is it a comedy or is it a drama?
We talked about this before and I thought it looked like it was a dark comedy,
right,
family drama type thing. But there are some comedic moments, but this is more a drama.
Okay.
And he really lets his chops show, you know. The cast is, of course, rounded out by J.K. Simmons, who is fantastic.
In
pretty much everything. Even in, you know, the most mainstream of films like Spider-Man, where he's J.J. What's-his-face.
Right.
He's fantastic. Anyway, Vicious Kind, number 9. Number 8 now is An Education. with one of my favorite actors who I've never seen in a lead role.
Molina?
Sarsgaard.
Sarsgaard, yeah.
I love Sarsgaard.
I actually like the girl in that film, Kerry Mulligan. She's fantastic in that movie.
Where is she from? You're talking about the young girl.
Yeah, the girl who is Sarsgaard.
Because I don't know her.
I looked it up the other night and I've already forgotten.
That is very memorable. Anyway.
So I'm about to look it up. So
okay. I'm about to look it up. To watch so this movie. I really want to watch it. But the time, I ran out of time.
No, I understand because there are quite a few movies. Like there is Revanche. I don't know which country it's from, but it's a Spanish, a movie in Spanish. And I really wanted to watch that, but I didn't get to.
She was in Brothers this year.
Brothers. Oh, was she? Who was she?
Cassie one of the daughters? Williams. No, she's not one of the daughters.
Because I haven't seen Brothers than I knew.
But I saw that just the other day.
I think
she's probably just in a walk-on room or something.
She was in Public Enemies. I don't know who she was in that film.
That horrible, horrible movie.
That's actually an honorable mention for me. I like it a lot.
Next.
Second watch.
The rest of them, I don't know. She was in Doctor Who, the show.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch that crap. Though I know it has a huge following, and I apologize to anybody who is a big Doctor Who fan. I understand the intricacies of fandom, but I just don't get that one.
I guess the thing is that her it kind of helps that she kind of reminds me a lot of Emma Thompson, I think the name is, or Emma Watson.
Emma Watson is are you talking about Harry Potter or right. Are you talking about
not Harry Potter?
Emma okay, Thompson okay, it's Emma
Watson is the
yeah Watson is Harry Potter. Right. Thompson is the older one. Yeah, Emma Thompson is she's in your favorite movie, Synecdoche. She's a girlfriend.
She reminds me a little of her a bit, but it's not hard to see, I think. But she has one of those kind of, and the British accent kind of helps make her. Make her indistinguishable. Whatever.
Broad brush, aren't you?
I like Kerry Mulligan. She gave an amazing performance in that film.
That movie, really good, really great performances for everybody, all involved. Oh, Molina was in it. Alfred Molina. Yeah. Good from him, too. Anyway, now back to... That was those three movies I had rearranged on my little notepad. Now I can go back to the phone and see what the rest of my list is. Number seven. We're at number seven, right? Number seven for me is The Hurt Locker.
Oh, so that just you got know? Chucked out?
Yes, it did.
That's odd.
I know. We've got Jeremy Renner. We've got Catherine Bigelow. We've got... Now, this movie, it surprised me so much in the sense that Anthony Mackie, I took this guy just to be like a nobody. I mean, he's in a bunch of big movies, but I didn't really care about him because most of his appearances I didn't think warranted any sort of note. But in this
you film, didn't like him as Tupac in
no,
Notorious.
I did not.
He plays an archetype except in Notorious. Dreadful movie.
Ooh, yes. But this film, he was fantastic.
That sniper button.
He was spot on.
I love that scene with that guy who I won't mention because it's slightly spoilery, but I did not know he was in this movie, and that kind of...
Oh,
what? The beginning?
If the sniper scene, there's an actor who's in that scene, and only that scene, and he's not in the rest
clearly,
of the movie.
I did not catch it because I have no clue what you
guys
are talking about.
There's a second one with Mark Anthony. I like how he's his story, like his arc ended. Let's say.
Mark Anthony was in this movie? I didn't even know that.
Wow,
I'm horrible. Oh yeah, right. Yes.
Right, let me give you a hint.
I think he was in the trailer though.
There was someone pushing a cart with some stones.
Yes.
And there was a lot.
Oh, was that him?
Anthony, Mark
okay, Anthony. That's Mark Anthony. You know what? Funny enough, I recognized him as the ice truck killer.
Mark Anthony is not the ice truck killer.
No.
No, he's not. Mark Anthony.
No, but the
resemblance
is kind
of
there.
Yeah. Well, you know, so. Scrawny, tall. Yeah.
Anyways, moving on.
Moving on. Number six is a movie that maybe a lot of people will be surprised that is on my list because of what I said when we reviewed it, because we actually did review this movie a while back. I said that this movie was very segmented, it was very pitchy-patchy, and I didn't like the way that they put everything together. But the more I think about it, and I've seen it since, and every time I said to myself, you know what, this movie is better than I thought it was. And so number 6 on my list is, it actually has been on somebody's list before, Bronson. The acting from Tom Hardy is it's more than commendable. It is, boy, there are no words to describe, I mean, this guy.
All people were describing the There Will Be Blood performance from
Daniel Day-Lewis.
It's unparalleled. It is truly, truly remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I don't think I can say much more than, if you don't watch this, you're missing out.
I have to ask you something. With the movie choices that you're making on your list, how can you sit in the same room with the guy whose number one movie was 2012?
Don't worry. I will punch him in the face when the mics turn off.
Look. Just leave me alone. All right? Leave me alone. I gave you 10 good movies. What do you want?
We want
you go to hell.
We want you to put more Tarantino films in your list.
No, I love 2012. I will not apologize for it. The movie is phenomenal. We can all go to hell now.
Ah, Damien, it's okay. We understand.
Leave me alone.
I accept you.
I don't.
There was one thing I really liked in 2012, and that was witnessing the destruction of LA. That was pretty cool.
But that's what the entire movie was.
Vic, with that, I have to ask, where are you hailing from right now?
Not LA.
Somebody's got a bit of a gripe there.
Maybe he doesn't like the Lakers. Or the Clippers.
The thing about Damien is he accepts when he's being ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we allow it.
I'm not going to pretend that 2012 is the greatest movie of this year. Because like, I'd be a crazy person.
Like, what
is my favorite movie of the year?
Did Transformers 2 almost make it onto your list?
That's low.
Was it like number 11 and just got, you know, just...
You go to hell, sir. We're no longer friends. My feelings have been hurt. I am.
And this is the greatest moment in the entire podcast. I love it. Thank you, Vic. Almost as good as when Shannon called Damien out.
She was a terrible movie.
What about her?
It's not my fault.
So not better than the noise that she made on the...
No, that is my favorite.
That little squeal.
She's in the chat room right now, so it's quite hilarious.
I know, she's the one that said that I could not talk and that Andrew was to talk. Apparently, Andrew is much more important than, you know, Douglas, too. Yeah, anyway.
Yes. Anyway,
so
moving on.
For me was Transformers 2.
No, Douglas, that's not even funny.
Okay, sorry. Number 5 for me was actually funny. Another movie with who I am actually beginning to think is one of my very favorite young actors, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, 500 Days of Summer. Number 5 for me.
He made it onto all of our lists.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes, he did. And not only did he make it onto all of our lists, but he made it onto mine twice.
No, you have that SNL episode coming up, right?
Exactly. I mean, not only did it have Joseph, but it had, you know, my favorite lady friend as well. So this is just...
My question is, how long does Death Cab for Cutie's lead singer have left?
Well, I've got a flight that I have to catch tomorrow, so I'd say not much time.
Okay. I'd just like to let you know that if something happens to him, soon, you're
no,
in trouble.
No, I'm not in trouble, because, you see, this is the smartest thing ever. Who actually confesses to a crime before they do it? Nobody would believe I did it. Nobody would say, they'd all be like, he would not be so stupid to say that he's going to, you know, do something to this guy before he did it. No, makes
if
no
you're
sense.
In Jamaica, it doesn't matter.
Almost every single movie villain in the history of cinema confesses to a crime before they do it.
Damn
it's called monologue.
And you got me there.
And Vic just sent my memories back to The Incredibles.
Every James Bond movie ever.
Anyways, Douglas.
Okay, moving on. Number four. A weird little movie.
That shouldn't be on the list. That shouldn't be on the list.
It's actually not one story. It's three separate stories by three separate people. Oh, shut up. And this movie is called Tokyo! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, I remember loving this film.
This
pretty
movie
much.
Is... Oh, boy. It's so great. Anything with Michel Gondry.
Wonderful. But he only did a third of the movie.
He only did a third, but the other two thirds were fantastic. Even the one that people hated. Most people hated the one with the leprechaun, and I thought that was really funny. I liked that
was
one.
That bias?
Yes, but guess what? All of this is opinion, and when you're talking about opinion,
bias matters.
Okay? So in my opinion, number four is Tokyo! Exclamation mark. Okay, other than that, we've got number three being Thirst.
Oh,
yes.
Can I tell you, I'm so disappointed that you picked this vampire film over a different one. This vampire film so Twilight. Much worse than Twilight. How
no,
could you
no. What?
This is true.
Is he serious?
I went to Twilight and I had the most fun I've ever had in the movie theater. So maybe you're right. Maybe for number three, I should switch out. No, I'm going to do it. Thirst is not my number three. My number three is Twilight. What's the new one? The New Moon?
Yeah.
Yes, The New Moon. That is my number three.
So that's
again. They really threatening us now.
Yeah, just kidding. Thirst is number three on my list.
I didn't like it as much as you. Oh, yeah. I thought I'd love it.
Because it was Park Chan-wook.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
Give me what I was looking for.
You see, that's the thing. I never, or I try not to go into movies with expectations.
Oh, I definitely walk in with expectations.
I know, a lot of
them
I
the
do. Like, most of the mainstream, I guess, I do. But like for these types of films, where it's just like, this looks kind of
you see,
I like to go in there with a clear mind.
It's
know?
Funny because I remember...
Because of his track record.
I remember when I showed Douglas his trailer, he was complaining bitterly. He was like, it's in Japanese and there's no subtitles and I can't do this. And it's because it was before he had seen any of his films and he didn't know why I was going crazy over it.
Yeah.
So he still wasn't sure what to think when he went in. Anyways, go on.
Okay, now we've got to the prestigious two, the top two films. And these two films have actually already been mentioned here, but they're just so fantastic that I don't understand why neither of you have pinned them for number one or number two.
Well, you know why number two isn't in mine.
Yeah, because you're an idiot.
I didn't even order mine. Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, but you told me number one was something different.
No, I hadn't.
It was not any of these two.
We put the gun to your head and it counts.
Exactly. Okay.
The Hanover must live on in people. It's true.
So for you folks that listen to the podcast on a regular basis, or
so
maybe have just... Yeah, or maybe you've just listened to the past couple. You know exactly what my number one movie is. But the number two movie for me, for 2009, drum roll, right? That's like well. was Antichrist by Lars von Trier. This movie was amazing. Willem Dafoe. Don't know her name, but lady from Science of Sleep. This movie was fantastic.
Her name is Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Charlotte Gainsbourg?
Yes.
Okay, Charlotte
Gainsbourg.
Charlotte, I love you. This film is fantastic, and I would really like to see anything else you've been in. So just send me an email with all the, you know, film titles, I'll watch them.
Have you seen any other Von Trier's movies?
No, I haven't, but they are on the top of my to-do list.
Right. I've only seen Dancer in the Dark with...
oh, okay. That's supposed to be really good. You know what I want to watch? There's one about Dog something.
Right.
That I want to watch.
I need to see some more of this.
Yeah, I know! Because if Antichrist is
an example
of something that he can do...
I'm afraid he was doing that when he was depressed. He was having some issues. and it clearly came out in that movie.
Oh yeah,
that dude has a lot of issues.
I guess I have to watch this movie now.
That movie is great. Great.
Even though, like I said, it was not as not mind blowing, but freaky as a lot of people made it out to be. But it was really, really.
Question really to you guys who've seen this film, because I've only heard rumors and murmurs about this thing in Antichrist. How
the fox?
Yeah, the fox. How vicious / weird / whatever
okay,
is the fox?
Well, you see, the thing about it is, maybe I'm a little bit weird, so it doesn't seem weird to me, but. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a fox saying chaos reigns, and it's just him taking the fox like with the mouth movements.
Oh, okay.
And that's no big thing to me. But okay, some people are kind of weirded out by animals talking. So
it fit the movie,
and it did. It fit.
I mean,
right
by,
where.
By the time you get to the end of the movie, the fox talking will be the least.
That's so true.
You won't even remember the fox talking. There's some stuff that goes down in the final act.
Oh,
that
boy. Let's just say that I felt a bit sorry for Willem.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Defoe, you did good.
Like on IMDb, it's just the two actors, and they're named him and her.
Yeah. They never actually come out and say
I like movies that do that. I remember the last movie that I can remember
that was
Once.
Once, exactly. That's the same one I was thinking about. Yeah.
And your number one movie, Douglas?
Well, you know, for you guys that don't listen to the podcast, you would not have heard me say
everybody
this
else.
A gajillion times before. Or as Damien likes to say, a fillion times before. Fillions, yes. Okay. My number one movie is a tiny little movie starring. Okay, Sarah's getting to right. It's Moon.
Sam Rockwell is
the name. Sam Rockwell.
And Kevin Spacey.
Kevin mentioned on everyone else.
so between our lists, what really matched up? We got the Hurt Locker. We got
Moon. We got
it wasn't on yours?
No, sir.
No, I didn't have that.
Oh, you're talking about all three.
Yeah, 500
Days. 500
Days
of Summer.
And
Bronson? Was
Moon,
Bronson on yours?
And Moon.
No,
Bronson was not.
Okay.
So those are the only two which overlapped completely between the three of us.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
No, okay. I said that this list was convoluted. And the reason is...
Who doesn't have this written on his list?
Okay, the reason that my list is convoluted because it's not finished yet. Those were just 10, but that's just... the top 10. There are various other things, like for example, okay, I have the biggest surprise of the year for me was a film that Vic talked about. Andrew didn't talk about it. Damien talked about it, but it wasn't on his list. Avatar, I could not believe it. And Damien said something the other day that rings so true with this movie, that what James Cameron tends to do is that he makes these fairly average stories but wraps them around in amazing visual context. This movie, though I make fun of it all the time, it really was just Pocahontas in 3D.
It
but
cliche,
yeah,
annoying.
It is. But that 3D factor. I mean, I kept saying to Andrew, what's this 3D rubbish? This 3D... It's not going anywhere. It's a gimmick. It's people throwing.
Well, I'm sitting down in theaters doing 3D going.
James Cameron showed me how 3D works. He showed me 3D is fantastic.
When they put on prescription 3D glasses, maybe 3D glasses, not fun.
Oh, how was I never asked you. How was that like
no,
watching
it,
the movie?
I mean, it still worked. I'm not sure if I've got the full effect. Partially because Carib's screen is really small, and partially because I was wearing two glasses. But it still worked. By like 20 minutes into the movie, I stopped looking at the edge.
You were acclimated.
Yeah, I just started enjoying the 3D effects, especially when there was debris falling from the screen. That was a pretty good effect.
I tend to love the 3D whenever like weather comes around. Because, I mean, when you see just numerous tiers of things just falling down, like... Like, for example, when he was in the forest and he saw the things just coming down around him and touching him. I can't remember what the word was. The Enya or whatever.
Enya or something like that.
The thing just like that. Those kind of effects just...
What I found really impressive was not the nighttime scenes with all the color and them walking up and down and lights everywhere. The daytime scenes, when you realize that all the grass and all the foliage, everything that you're seeing is rendered in some
computer. Yeah.
It is truly
not just grass and the foliage, like, but the people.
No, literally everything.
Everything. The blue people, all that Neterian thing, look, that was all
for someone
fake.
To
it's
sit
fantastic.
Down. And
you realize Neytiri is a character. The people are Na'vi.
No, I meant to say Neytiri, the lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean it that way. I guess maybe I said it all wrong. Again, bear drinking.
So, I mean, Vic, what are your thoughts on Avatar and the visuals and James Cameron's... Is this his opus?
No.
I think it is. I mean, I thought that visually it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen on film, but that wasn't enough for me to, you know, knock it out of the park and give it 5 out of 5. I thought the story was, you know, it wasn't anything that, let's put it this way, 10 minutes in, I knew exactly how the entire movie was going to play out. And that to me is not a sign of a, you know, a great movie. I mean, sure, it took me away, and I'm a huge fan of 3D, by the way. Not the spear-in-your-face 3D, but the way he used it, where it just adds so much more depth to a scene. And, you know, when he's walking on the tree branches and looks over the edge and you actually get vertigo from looking over, I mean, that's all amazing stuff. I love the CGI. I think he nailed the facial stuff. And but, you know, I didn't love it, you know. And my all-time favorite movie is a James Cameron movie. It's Aliens. And I was hoping for a similar experience with this, and sure, it's groundbreaking and visually cool and everything, but, you know, I walked out of it and I was like, yeah, okay, well, it's an interesting story. It's, you know,
you so, moved I mean, on I with your life.
5, but
the Avatar story touched me in a way.
Are you talking about how it came out of the screen?
It's just. It's so cliche.
Yeah.
The funny part is I've had a lot of friends talk to me about Avatar, and I mean these are like not huge film people, not people like us who watch Bronson and Antichrist and stuff like that. People who go and watch Transformers 2 and love it, those kind of people. And I've spoken to me about Avatar, and and they are just going crazy over the film. People have talked to me and told me they've seen it 3 times already. They want to watch it again.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I would so watch that movie again.
There was people clapping at the end of the movie as if they didn't see that coming at any point. Yeah?
But
like,
whenever they did...
amazement of what this movie... All the stories, people... I mean, and that is why I hate talking to Rick. And that is part of my New Year's resolution.
You're going
since
to talk
I'm
to regular
already
people.
A movie snob, technically, despite all my best efforts, I'm just going to go straight down that road. And stop talking to people. Go have a clue about movies and just keep them. I'm tired and can't do this anymore.
I guess you can't talk to us anymore.
Well, I gotta tell you, all the people who are wondering.
That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Yeah, sorry.
The people who are wondering whether it would make his money. Back, I mean, I guess they've got to be quiet now. I mean, generally, a movie that's really popular drops maybe 40-50% from the first weekend to the second. Avatar dropped less than 3% in box office. I've never in my life heard of a movie dropping only that much in its second weekend of box office. That's just
earlier this year, there was this movie recently called The Blind Side, which I think did similar things. I think it actually made more money in the second week. Like, it made 50 and then 53. Let me look it up while we're talking. Because I remember being stunned at how that movie did that. Because
you know what? You know, though, Vic, you're quite right. Because Damien told me something which I almost don't believe out here, right? So I guess it's a different market and whatnot. But it still shows the whole trend that this movie came out. So me and Andrew probably saw it 1 or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And still, Damien could not get a ticket to watch Avatar yesterday it was sold out for both the 5 o'clock and the 8 o'clock showing from the day before. So he had to actually
buy a ticket for
the day before.
I had to buy a ticket for today, yesterday.
That actually,
I've done that for certain movies.
No, but that a movie is sold out so far into
right.
its run.
I thought that, you know, by now we'll be getting close to being coming out of the theaters and things. But it was still jam-packed. The only sad thing was that Alvin and the Chipmunks were sold out as well.
Alright, just as a side note, I've looked it up on Box Office Mojo. The Blind Side hit November 20th in the States. It made $34 million in that week. The following week, it made $40 million.
Wow.
But then the next week it made 20.
But that's still a lot.
No, it is, it is.
And for this movie, which I watched and was so unimpressed with.
Come on, it's a Sandra Bullock movie where she puts on this fake
Tennessee.
Weird little Tennessee accent.
But we were saying, even before the movie came out, if the movie was a train wreck, Avatar, I'm speaking, and then it not making back its money wouldn't have been a problem. If all the hype was just that hype, then you know, the $500 million wouldn't have a problem sitting here saying that that movie was a train wreck, and I hope it doesn't make $3. But the fact of the matter is that he has revolutionized 3D by all accounts.
Well, maybe not 3D, but you know what he's done? He's revolutionized visuals in movies. Where the point where I think because of this, more films will see 3D or similar technologies as a viable option. Where
and point in fact, before. Jackass 3 will be using the same technology as Avatar.
I needed to know that.
They'll be using the exact same cameras, right. The exact same setup.
Get past this. Let us talk about honorable mention.
Okay,
let's go to Vic first. Vic, did you have any honorable mentions to go with your list? Like stuff that you want to pack in but just cut immediately.
Yeah, I would probably say Zombieland and Drag Me to Hell. Both of those were a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed both of those movies. They were just a blast.
I love those films.
They're hysterical. They're great. You know, I mean, Drag Me to Hell, I don't even know if you'd call that a horror movie. It was more of a comedy, just like Zombieland was. I mean, it was, you know, the scene with the old woman in the car and then, oh my gosh, getting stapled in the forehead. And I mean, it was just.
But remember, this is coming from the same guy that brought us Evil Dead.
I know. Well, it was very close to the early Evil Dead movies, you know, the first and the second, compared to some of the stuff he's done. Remember, I mean, the thing that I guess made it more palatable to people was that it was PG-13. He didn't go really nuts with the all the gore on it, but I thought it was a lot of fun. It was I've seen it twice too, and it held up for me in a second viewing.
Yeah, it totally does.
The thing about Drag Me to Hell, I love that movie, but it kind of fell down for me when I watched it like a third and a fourth time on Blu-ray. I still love it, but it wasn't up there as I thought at first.
Movies for me that were the big surprises was, well, District 9. I saw that at Comic-Con, and it just blew everybody out of the theater. I mean, nobody could believe how awesome that damn movie was. And the other surprise for me was Star Trek, because, you know, they really could have screwed the pooch on that one. It could have been a terrible, terrible movie. But it turned out really good.
Okay. Damien, any honorable mentions you want to go through?
You've got like 20 of those, I'm sure. I saw you when you were editing the wave today. You should have seen it. So we've got, okay, for all of you guys listening,
that have
Google Wave, look for us. Search for the Unnamed Movie Podcast, because we actually do have a public wave that you can edit and we can edit that, you know, contributes to the actual content of the show. So
you're going to have to show me how to link that so that I can
Well, I linked it on the first time, so I'll show you how to link it this time. So Damon was actually writing all of his list out on Google Wave today while I was at work when I had nothing to do. So I was looking at him edit it, and he started off with at least, what, 30 movies? Maybe 40?
I kind of wonder what your list would look like if I asked you to do the decade.
By the way, I'd like to agree with Ms. Moxie. Star Trek does rock.
Well, we made this clear on the special podcast
yes,
we recorded.
novel. I mean, how did you guys come to this conclusion? I've never heard anyone say that. Keeps tying that movie. Right. So my special mentions. The Dark Knight re-release.
Oh, Claire.
Boo!
The Dark Knight. Alright, no, let's be serious. The Young Victoria. I really, really love this movie. I really wanted it to get on the list. But there's just no place for it on the list. Sunshine Cleaning. Up. I really want it up on
Squirrel.
Gamora.
I love that. That's a sec. That's not the first time we've made that joke on this podcast, and it's still funny.
Personally, I love the Cone of Shame.
The Class technically came out in 2008, but we didn't really see it until 2009, and The Class is absolutely phenomenal.
I'll allow it.
I didn't call you a scam.
She said you were acting if you were right. Funny People Live.
Andrew, screw you, that doesn't count.
And the last one's The Proposal. Enjoy The Proposal.
Yeah, that's a fun
Sandra
movie.
Sandra Bullock one?
Yeah.
Really? As in like top 10 material? Like,
no,
I enjoy the movie, but like I wouldn't even put it in
honorable
mention.
No, it's a like A Perfect Getaway is really, really
oh,
fun.
Man.
Right, this
yeah.
movie is really, really fun.
Okay.
And the only reason The Hurt Locker is not on my list is because I saw that movie last year.
Oh yeah.
You're being a snob, is it?
And Taken.
Taken too.
Also,
Taken.
Right.
Oh my
Taken.
Goodness.
Taken. We saw last year.
We saw that in October.
Right.
I will find you. I will kill you.
I love how he says
luck.
It so matter of factly,
and
like, you know,
like,
I will. Yeah,
guy's like, alright, good luck. You should have said that. You know, it's a hindsight 2020. You should have thought I won that from the beginning. It's been a great year for movies.
It has. Like, looking at all of my list, I think this might be the best year for movies of the decade.
No.
I would not say that.
I'm not going down that road. Very sorry, sir. I'm backing off this. That's the statement right here.
Douglas.
Oh, so I can go before you this time?
Yeah, go
okay.
ahead.
So like I said, my list is a little
let's,
bit
let's
convoluted.
About that.
Yes, wait, let's check the chat first. Am I allowed to go before
see,
Andrew?
No one's objecting.
No
so.
One's objecting.
So
you sure?
Go.
Everybody's sure? Yes! Okay!
Yes, you object or yes.
Douglas can go.
Okay, so yes, my list is kind of...
Peculiar.
But, alright. So, before I said my biggest surprise was Avatar. No, I really love this quote and it kind of works in this scenario. It's a quote from none other than, you know, Will Ferrell, Ricky Balbi. He says, you know, you're either first or you're last. And unfortunately, this movie came up in that whole last segment, not because it wasn't good, because when I saw this movie and for a long time after, this movie was the best in this kind of category that I'm talking about. But then Avatar came out and Avatar just completely blew it away with video. I mean the visuals. So what would have been the best visuals if Avatar did not exist? That movie is The Watchmen. Like Damien was telling me just a while ago, if you look at this movie in Blu-ray, you know, you see the sort of detail in, for example, the Blue Man. Dr. Manhattan.
The amount of detail that they put into that character is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Some of that detail is really remarkable.
Yeah. And I mean, overall, the movie was really good. So much so that I actually owned the... What the hell is it called?
Ultimate cut.
Not even the director's cut.
The ultimate cut.
Ultimate
and I have to say, just as a side note, now that I've finally watched all versions, I prefer the ultimate cut.
Okay.
I don't want any cartoons in my movies.
All right, so this movie was fantastic. Sad it wasn't on my top 10, but it just, you know, it didn't cut it.
Yeah,
jeez.
I mean, Tokyo
but
is so
for
much better.
Visuals, it really should have. But then this bloody Avatar came out, and what the hell, man? Come on. Anyway, now we've got to the movies that I guess you guys call honorable mentions. Me, I call them the movies that I cry for because they weren't in my top 10.
That's what the honorable mention is.
Okay.
Yes.
They really should have been in my top 10, but you know, you kind of have to
read
them out.
Tokyo was just so much better.
It was. All right, so amongst these is a movie that I just popped out of the top 10. It was in before, then I wrote down on this pad. That movie is The Informant with Matt Damon, directed by Soderbergh. It was great. It was hilarious.
So you're saying, what you're saying is
acting,
that
it was fantastic.
You were so sad at how horrible Invictus was, you had to include a Matt Damon film in your list.
That was so horrifying of the girlfriend experience you had.
You know, funnily enough, I still haven't watched that movie.
Don't.
Okay. Alright, so other than that, movies that should be in my top 10 but are not, and I cry on the inside because they are not. Number one movie is Up. I mean, I tried to really say to Andrew, you know, just because this is Pixar doesn't make it good.
Have you rewatched it recently, by the way?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
You know, it was okay, but yada yada yada. This movie was spectacular.
It is like,
the first montage alone just, you know, catapults it up.
It is really, really good. I just couldn't put it in the 10.
I know, you just couldn't put it in there. There was not a spot for it, and it's so unfortunate because this deserves so much praise.
It's not fair.
It isn't.
You know what's the funny part about it, though? Like, sometimes when I'm watching this film, I actually enjoy the bit before the montage when they're just children. So much, like, just the child version of Carl Fredrickson, just not talking and just hopping around all over the place.
That should leave Balloon Balloon.
Okay, another movie that really should have been in my top 10 and was actually in Andrew's and I believe was in yours is The Brothers Bloom. The follow up from
he hates movies, that's his excuse.
No, this movie is... It's
Dude, The Informant is better than Bros.
It's so
Blue.
Good. No, no, that's just because it was the movie that got bumped off.
Oh.
Yeah. But no, Brothers Bloom, so good. So good. I mean...
Bang, bang.
For the... Bang, bang. I don't know. And then there's Rachel Weisz in it, who is...
No, we don't need to mention... I mean, the lead characters, you can... move past those people.
And not only that, Ryan Johnson got Joseph Gordon-Levitt to come in for like 5 seconds to dance like an idiot. So, whoa. Yes, that would have been the third movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt on my top 10. Unfortunately, it did not make it. District 9. District 9, really, really, really.
Yeah, I'm going to need a written explanation.
It should have been in the top 10.
You're on probation.
I'm on probation. You clearly have not seen the movies that I have seen.
Okay.
Oh boy, this movie, it's just so good. The World's Greatest Dad. Directed by the man who cannot speak really well. Bobcat Goldthwait. Starring Robin Williams in one of his very few modern good movies, because, you know,
there was
guy,
Old Dogs.
Exactly. He does crap like Old Dogs and Old Hogs and Humvee. Not Humvee, what was the name of
RV
that RV, thank you. I shed a tear when I think of how talented and how great this man is and what he is doing. I love Mrs. Doubtfire.
Everybody loves Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I don't think you're allowed to not like
that. Exactly. But even that, that is a grain of sand when compared to his earlier, more fun
into
stuff.
The 80s. Some of that.
Talking about Mrs. Doubtfire, I recently saw it on TV and it's the first time I've watched it for years. And I realized that the other guy is Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. He didn't know?
I didn't realize that.
By the way, Jadon, sorry, I didn't mention any docs. I'm not a big documentary fan. Well,
I didn't watch any.
I shouldn't say it that way. If I'm forced to watch documentaries, there are some that I actually like get surprised and really enjoy. But it's just not the type of film that generally draws me to watch it immediately.
So last year, this fool put Dare Zachary on his...
Because it's amazing.
Whatever.
Tell you the truth, I'm sure Cove is on his honorable mentions.
Right. And this year, he told us about the Sardine movie. And there is a far better movie, a far better documentary.
Which
than
one?
The Sardine movie. It's called Food Inc.
I haven't watched that one
yet.
Yeah. If you don't want to eat food, if you want to go on a diet and need a reason, it's pretty average. Like, you never eat food again. You look at everything you eat in a different light. And it's a very creepy, creepy movie. Way more creepy than the Sardine movie. I tried to like your movie. And the Cove is just... Dude, it's dolphins.
Yes, Damien.
Food Inc. is like showing you what big companies are doing to essentially destroy food. They're essentially turning conflicts into cocaine. That's
wait, sorry, that's a bad thing.
When you watch the movie, you'll understand why it's a bad thing.
No, but
not conflicts.
I hear
you
that
think
cocaine
of conflicts.
Is really...
Oh, of course, it's really good for your sinuses.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Douglas, moving on.
None of the ones I saw were good enough to
yeah.
make the top.
I still have two more movies that I cry for, that I weep, I shed tears for. One of them being Where the Wild Things Are. Clearly, almost number one on Andrew's list. You still haven't seen it, but that's because you have this weird little kerfuffle with Carib Cinema. So,
dude, that's you. With Avatar, they didn't fix the audio. You can't just be taking risks just going into the movie.
Where the Wild Things Are.
Bad video and audio, I can't tell.
This is directed by one of my favorite directors. Even though I don't talk about him a lot, I guess maybe that has to do with the fact that he hasn't directed a lot of movies, per se. He's done a few, you know. He's done... And the movies that he's done, I really like. Except for the one that I haven't seen. So, here's that. I still haven't seen Being John Malkovich. But
you haven't seen that movie?
I haven't watched it yet. I really
it's on the
to.
Shelf.
I'll
it's
watch
on the
it
shelf.
Soon, okay? But Spike Jonze adaptation was one of the best movies I've ever seen. And clearly Where the Wild Things Are is another one. And... It's just, I love the story behind this, how he went from his original idea for the movie to what he has now, or what he ended up with. Because apparently, what he started out with was, he was like, you know what, I'm just going to do this with a bunch of Muppets. A bunch of guys in suits with, you know, masks that maybe they open and close, and that's about it. But... He apparently is good friends with David Fincher, and so while David Fincher was doing Benjamin Button, his space, Spike Jonze's space, was right above the Benjamin Button space. And after a while, I guess he figured out it wasn't working too well and whatnot, and then he saw pieces of what Fincher was doing with Button, and he said, okay, that is what I'm going to use.
I want some of that. Thank you very much.
And I just love that story, the whole evolution of the movie, and then even forgetting that story, because that really shouldn't play a part of why I like the movie. The movie itself, all by itself, is just... you know? There's so many ways you can interpret the film in the sense
Let
that...
Let the wild rumpus.
In the sense that you could say, okay, this was a child's imagination of maybe a half an hour or a couple of hours of being away from his house, or... You know what? This is a real children's movie where he actually went on a boat and found this weird animal.
I don't think anyone can interpret it that way.
Well, whatever. I can interpret it that way.
What about small children? Also go to watch the movie.
Exactly.
There weren't that many of them when we went to watch this movie.
So, I just love it. I love the visuals. I love the story, the way that, you know... Like Neil Gaiman said, this is... I don't know if he said it about this book or about Coraline or about both, but he said that this is the type of book that from... this is the type of children's book that was made when they weren't too afraid to scare children. So I like that quote and that mm-hmm. description of it. And really, this is... This is a must-buy, a must-watch, and a must-see thing. Fantastic. Anyway, the last movie, one that both Andrew and Damien make fun of me about incessantly, one that I finally got some sort of validation from one Roger Ebert for,
of course
he did. Is You the Living.
Did I tell you I found another top 10 list with it?
Oh, who is this now?
It was on Cinematical. I can't remember. I linked you.
Seriously, did you watch the movie?
Thank you. Double the validation. I love this film. It is not a straightforward film. It is just a bunch of teeny tiny stories that are strung together with no real intertwining device.
So it's like Crash, a movie we all hate.
No, Crash tried to intertwine, but it just didn't work. Okay, there you go. Cinematical, whoever wrote this, is it Scott? No, it's Jeremy Anderson.
Jeffrey.
Sorry, I can't read. Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you are my friend now. I love the You, the Living. This, I don't know, there's not much else I can say about it. It's really good in terms of the way it looks. These are all just a bunch of really fun, really weird, really odd stories.
Really stupid.
I just enjoyed watching.
Because you're stupid.
Maybe I am.
Good.
Anyway, I've got two more movies to talk about. And these are the movies that some people might say, well, you know, he probably forgot it. He forgot these movies off his list. No, I didn't. I took these off on purpose because I don't believe that they deserve either the top 10 or the honorable mention or even the not-so-notable mention in the list. Number one is Precious. Yes, I said it. I didn't think Precious was that good.
Wait, are you saying that these are movies that people praise that you don't like? Or?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to clarify, because the bear has finally gotten to me perfectly, and
okay.
I'm not hearing anything yes. perfect.
No, Precious, come on. Is that all you had to show me? A young child that had bad things happen to her. I haven't seen this before, really? No,
I've seen the one.
Pretty sure. Exactly. And then another one that actually it hasn't been getting too much praise, so I really shouldn't put it on this list, but I felt like I should because I was looking so forward to it. And then I watched it and then I realized it was also average, and this movie is Invictus, which you actually spoke about a while ago.
Actually, to tell you the truth, most people haven't been praising it. Most people have been doing the opposite.
Yeah, which is why I said, you know, I really shouldn't include it on this list for that reason, but I just looked forward to it so much. It's so sad because not even one of my favorite young actors right now, or I shouldn't call him young, but shut up. I don't care about Morgan Freeman. the man who's so in love with his voice that he narrates every movie he's in.
I love all of you. Such a good voice.
Matt Damon. He is probably one of my favorite actors right now. Favorite contemporary actors, I guess I could say, instead of young. But he didn't do anything for this movie for me. I didn't even...
Because he wasn't asked.
Apparently. I didn't even watch this movie and say, oh, his scenes were really good. No. He did his job, and he did what he was supposed to do, but he did not over-excel, which he usually does, which saddened me. However, apparently he's in a new Clint Eastwood movie that's filming now or about to be filmed. So,
which you have to watch because
exactly,
he's in it,
I would
right?
have to watch because both he and Clint Eastwood are involved, therefore it must be awesome. So
have we gone to Andrew's?
No.
Okay.
No, we haven't.
I'm going to pour
like
through mine.
My list is long and
convoluted
weird.
And weird. So I'm going to pour through my honorable mentions because this is going on. Whoa. World's Greatest Dad, we've spoken about it already. No. Watchmen, spoken about it already. Star Trek, I really wanted to put this in the list for some
Such
reason.
Such a good movie.
Sunshine Cleaning, Sin Nombre, Adventureland, Observe and Report, Public Enemies, The Girlfriend Experience. I can't tell you how much I liked this movie when I saw it.
Wait, sorry. Hang on. Before you start talking. All right. I see a list here with Jennifer's Body.
No, that's...
Paul Blart.
No, that's
Whiteout.
Worst. No, that's worst.
That's worst.
Okay.
Why he subjected himself to so many bad things.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Girlfriend Experience.
Wait,
I
did you say Adventureland?
Yes.
You are crazy, sir. That
Fuck
movie
you
is
too.
Bad.
The Girlfriend Experience, I really love this movie. The Cove is my favorite documentary of the year thus far. I will watch Food Inc. and check it out. And Fantastic Mr. Fox has to get a mention.
Really want to watch
it. It's kind of good. It's pretty decent.
It's like the more and more I think about that movie, the more I fall in love with it. It was a fantastic film. Pun intended.
Uh-huh.
And that's really it.
So, starting with our guest for tonight, what was the worst movie that you saw this year?
Really?
No, just one. Just the one. Worst.
You really want to go? You really want to know the worst film? Vic. I think we put him to sleep.
No, I'm still here.
Damien wants to know what's your worst film of the year.
Oh my gosh, you you should have messaged me ahead of time so I could start looking through my reviews.
Damien, put this on me
man,
now.
I have senility setting in. I can't remember these things. Oh god, give me some examples.
Well, I have to tell you, my worst film of the year and the benchmark throughout the year for me has been Transformers 2.
Yeah, that was definitely on the list.
I think Damien's is Legend of Chun-Li.
Yes, that is. I think that is the worst movie possibly of all time.
Douglas, no, I have no idea.
Well, see, here's the advantage of running your own movie site is that if I think a movie's going to suck, I just don't go see it.
I do that, and I don't run my own movie site.
Well, you see, generally when I go to these films, I have some form of hope for them. Like, I went to Jennifer's Body, which came really close to Transformers 2 horribleness, but I thought it was going to be half decent.
How did you think that? Megan Fox is...
Diablo Cody wrote it.
Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was on my list. That was one of the worst ones I've seen, and Pandorum was probably...
I haven't seen Pandorum yet. I want to watch that. I hated it. But I've heard horrible things.
No, that movie looks horrible. I don't know why.
Douglas will like it, though.
Thank you for that vote of confidence.
We also saw Sleep Dealer. Was that this year?
This year.
Oh, Lord.
I think that might count as one of those which came out 2 years ago in Mexico or something, but...
I should have stayed there. Ow. We tried with that movie. It's bad. It's not Chun-Li bad.
Douglas, any idea of what your worst film of the year would be?
Okay, one of the worst films of the year for me, and I'm not sure if this movie actually came out in 2009. It probably didn't, but I watched it in 2009. Was Blue State.
I think that was an 2007 movie.
Yeah, I just caught up to it recently. But the worst film, I had it in my head, it's kind of gone out.
I have all of these listed here that you can look at that you probably hated.
Oh no, you know what was my worst film of the year? And I know a lot of people are going to argue with me. It wasn't that bad, but it was The International.
Oh, that's on my list.
Wow, yeah.
That movie was so boring and so average that I just, at the end, when I finished, because I actually watched this in the theater, I wanted to scratch my eyes out. I just couldn't stand it.
That's how I felt about Death Proof.
Wow.
Finally.
I remember sitting in the theater, and I will never forget the thought that actually came across my mind was, I wish I had a fork so I could stab my eyes out.
Yep. That's pretty much Damon's feeling.
Okay, so quick question. What did you think of the other movie? What's the name of it?
I'm not talking
Planet
anymore.
Terror, yeah.
I'm not talking
I love
anymore.
Terror.
Okay.
Dude, that movie was long and boring. And nothing happened.
Death Proof was like watching Oprah with Trailer Park Women. I mean, they're talking for 20 minutes and they keep talking, and I'm like, oh my god, can we get to something else, please? I mean,
no, because Tarantino needs to write.
Nobody should
nonsense.
ever own Kurt. What's his face? What was his name? Kurt. Oh my god, I just went blank. Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
Right.
Kurt Russell should never get owned in a movie. Never.
Vic.
Same man
Vic,
from the Big Trouble.
Vic. I somehow, this makes it easier that I know there's physically no way of me going through the internet to punch you.
That is Tarantino bias. Unbridled.
Well, I don't have Tarantino bias and I like a movie.
What exactly did you like about the hour and a half where there was two scenes of worth, basically?
But you see, that's the thing. You said the scenes of worth were
movies.
The action section.
No.
But that's because...
Hold on, are you talking about moments where
the
plot moved
for an hour and 15 minutes about nothing that was relevant to the actual movie?
But I like that.
You're a cokehead.
Clearly I am.
Wow, is all I have to say to all of this.
Crazy.
And with that, we can end. I'd like to thank you, Vic, for joining us for this podcast. Is there anywhere...
final podcast of the decade.
The final podcast of the decade and the year. Is there... is there anywhere you'd like to point people to on the internet before we go?
Of course, screenrant.com. And also, I wanted to thank you guys for inviting me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Well, it was great having you.
Finally, someone with sense.
We try.
I don't try.
You can find the podcast, as usual, on gmanreviews.com, and you can follow me on twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And my Twitter name, if you'd like to follow me as well, is DJRLostHisName.
Are you ready to make a joke, Damon, or are you letting this one pass?
No, it's the end of the decade. I can't be proved.
You can find us on iTunes and the Podcast Alley. Give us reviews. We like that. We'll read them.
Bad reviews.
Yeah. It'll give us joy. Kind of. Good night and Happy New Year.
Where are my jetpacks?